Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hello, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here. Another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very dedicated friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave, it's good to have you here, my friend. We have a fascinating program for our listeners today. This is one where it's going to have an impact on their lives. We have a few neat subjects that really make you stop and think, and I believe that's what the people are really listening for. We're going to talk about habits. You know, Jesus knew the power of a habit. The very parameters that we live in are about habits. Remember that we had a dynamic speaker here about 20 years ago. I've forgotten his name at this moment, but he released a program called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It's good I did forget his name, because I'd probably say it and then it would sound like a commercial. But he left us know very clearly that the habits that we have can make or break our very life, personally and professionally. Well, Jesus agreed with that thought process, and it's all recorded in the Bible the same way. Great men simply have great habits. It's that simple. A well-known billionaire said, "I arrive at my office at 7 a.m. every morning. It's a habit." Recently, a best-selling novelist who has sold over 1 million books said, "I get up at the same time every morning. I start writing at 8 a.m. and I quit writing at 4 p.m. every afternoon. I do it every day. It's a habit." You see, habit is a gift from God. It simply means anything you do twice becomes easier. It is the Creator's key to help you to succeed. Jesus stayed busy. He traveled. He prayed for the sick. He taught and ministered. He supervised his disciples. He spoke to large crowds. However, he had an important custom and habit. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for them to read. That was his custom. Luke 4:16 says just that. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. That was his habit. Find that in Daniel 6:10. The psalmist prayed 7 times a day. That's written in Psalms 119:164. The disciples of Jesus met on the first day of each week. Acts 20:7. Jesus knew great men simply have great habits. David, do you have anything you'd like to share on the subject of habits? Could it make or break us?
I think this is going to be a very short subject for us today. I don't think there's too much to say. I'm not sure I live like this that you just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never get up at 7 o'clock. I used to. Mm-hmm. But when I retired, you know what? I said 9 o'clock would be good for me.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's still a habit to get up at 9. Yeah, the time of day is not the point here. The point is, whatever the time might be, I used to get up at 4:30 because I started to work at 6.
I don't do that anymore either. It depends on what you have to do.
Exactly.
You will never change your life until you change something that you do every day.
That's very good. That's it.
That's a major part of our life.
Yes.
Sometimes I have to get up early and go do this, and like you go to the doctor, you mm-hmm. go to church. 9 o'clock is way too late. So a couple of days you have to get up early, and it changes your life. And
it alters your habit.
It does. It alters, but you always want to go back to what you feel comfortable.
That's the key word.
I go to bed, and I go, oh, man, I don't have to get up in the morning. Praise God. Yeah. I can just sleep along, sleep in.
Yes.
Man, in the middle of the night, Judy will bump me and say, you remember you have to get up at 7 o'clock today?
Yep.
I said, oh, man, why did you tell that me now?
When I was gainfully employed, I was in the information technology business, and everyone was a specialist. And, you know, in the old days when we were all much, much younger, one person could have a handle on writing code, understanding the internet, understanding database management systems, understanding telecommunications, and all the ramifications that go along with the data processing world. But nowadays, the world is so big and so complex that you have to specialize in something. Whatever you really like, you have to specialize in it and make it a habit to do that same job over and over and over. It becomes a habit. If you're an attorney, you're usually not an attorney at every subject under the sun, but whatever you know best, whatever your experience has taught you to do well. So you become a specialist in that area because it becomes a habit. That's the kind of work we're talking about, or the life pattern. It's a habit. The scriptures tell us that. So that's fine. That's a good way to guide our life. Jesus was a finisher. You talk about habits. He finished what he started. Champions are finishers. It's fun to be creative, and it certainly is an exciting way to always be giving birth to new ideas, thinking of new places, or launching a new product. Be real champions completing things. That's what's important, though. They are follower-through people. Jesus was 30 years old when he started his ministry. His ministry went for 3.5 years. He did many miracles. He touched many lives. He electrified the world through 12 men. But hidden in those thousands of scripture is a golden principle that reveals his power. It happened on a horrible day of his crucifixion. He was taunted by thousands, speared. Spears pierced his sides, and spikes were driven into his hands. 8 inches of thorns were crushed into his brow. Blood had dried into his hair. 400 soldiers left spittle running down his body. That is when he uttered perhaps the greatest sentence ever uttered on earth. It is finished. John chapter 19, verse 30 says just that. The sins of man could be forgiven. He paid the price. The plan was complete. He was the lamb led to the slaughter. He was the chief cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 says that. The Prince of Peace had come. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The great high priest, the Son of God, was our golden link to the God of heaven. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says that. You see, Jesus was the finisher. He finished what he started. The bridge that linked man to God was complete. Man could approach God without fear. The Apostle Paul was a finisher. Says that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, was a finisher. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 14 says that. One famous multimillionaire said, I will pay the great salary to anyone who can complete an instruction that I will give him. He wanted finishers, you see. Start completing little things. Write that thank you note to your friends. Make those 2 telephone calls you've been putting off. Get the spirit of a finisher. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22 says that. You see, Jesus was the finisher. We should follow that example. Any thoughts about being a finisher there, Dave, jumping out at you as you think about the material that we're trying to share with our listeners today?
Well, your birth will go by easy, but your exit will always be remembered. So what you're doing during your lifetime is what they're going to talk about when you're in your final service. I think it's good to continue to do what you're supposed to. Sometimes families don't finish the course. Mom and dad get kids and they raise them, and when they get to be teenagers, you know, they forget them. Say, hey, you're on your own. We've done our best by you. And kids don't know how to go to church. They don't know.
Yeah.
And preachers are having to learn how to preach all over again in order to keep their attention, keep the attraction. Preachers don't know how long to preach anymore. An hour used to be easy. Yeah. Then 45 minutes. And, you know, sometimes some people say, well, if the preacher would only preach 20 minutes, I'd go to church. Well, that's a crazy way to live. But it's something that helps when we look at life and how we our children are going to turn out. You know, I'm a preacher, so when the pastor preaches, I'm watching my watch to see how long he's going to go. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I say to myself, hey, that was right on. That was right on. My goodness, what a message. And we bring a guest in, and he preaches for an hour and 15 minutes, and I say, hey, way too long. way too long. You get happy about what you're doing. But Jesus, He finished what he started.
Yep.
And he learned how to do it by making sure that what was said after he is gone important. You know what we say? You know what we think about Jesus? Since he's died 2,000 years, he's still on our lips.
That's exactly right.
He knew how to finish, and he put it in a book said, if you read this and do this, you'll be a great person and you'll be a great finisher of your life. And I'm in the middle of that. I'm being at 82. Mm-hmm. This is my birthday month. Mm-hmm. A couple more weeks. I've learned some things that I think are really important to me.
Yeah.
Do I got time to tell you about this?
Sure, go ahead.
First of all, I want to be able to finish better than I've ever lived. I want to finish well. That's the first requirement of an 82-year-old person.
That's a good outlook.
Finish well. Secondly, I've learned that status and position don't really matter anymore.
That's right.
So I'm not worried about where I fit and how have I done today with my life. I'm worried about that. That's helping me to finish good, finish better than I've lived. And then I found out the fourth thing was really important. And the fourth thing that's going to make you the person you need to be is having an influence of friends. You make a friend out of everybody.
Yeah.
You reach out to everybody you come in touch with, and you make him, at least you try, shake his hand, hug him, whatever you had to do, talk to him, right? I'm trying to make, since I don't care about status or position anymore, I'm going to make a friend. And if you come to my house or I meet you somewhere, I go to church, people are just coming and going in my life, and I'm learning how to make a friend of all of them. A man came to my house the other day, and he came down to my basement, saw my train set, and all of a sudden he was glued to what was in my basement. And I said, this is my chance to make him a friend. I just walked over and told him how I did this and how I did that, and this doesn't work. And you know, before it was all over, he said, Dave, I want to come back here and help you. Whatever you have wrong with it, I want to fix. Can I be your friend? I said, wow.
Yeah.
You never know when somebody's coming alongside you and they're going to do something for you you never even imagined. And so that's where I'm at.
You're headed to be a strong finisher, yes.
Friends are going to help me.
People.
Get to the end.
That's right.
And to be able to put out what I thought maybe I had given up on my trains. I don't even care about them anymore. And all of a sudden, that man gave me such an interest and a taste for it. When
now
he left,
back in your priority list.
I was back down under. Judy said, what are you doing? I said, I'm down with the trains again, babe. I'm here.
Yeah.
That man tore me up. He told me so many things, and I want to get at it.
Yeah,
get out of my way. Get out of my way.
You're going to be a strong finisher.
So,
our listeners perhaps don't understand your train set. This isn't the typical little, look at the choo-choo going around this little oval. Your train set goes, through three different rooms all behind glass enclosures?
Right.
Oh, it's huge. Yes, your train set is quite a display piece.
I had a big desire one day.
Yes.
Boy, when it left, you know, I didn't touch that train for 5 years.
Is that right?
And you know what?
Yeah, it's the back.
Everything falls apart when you don't touch it.
Oh, yeah. And this gentleman who you just met recently has offered to help you restore it.
Yeah.
Isn't that fascinating? Yeah. You see, now, that's a true friend. That's a true friend. It tells our listeners the caliber of a person you are. If somebody is willing to do that for you and has only known you for a brief time, that tells you that you have that personality that God instills in everyone who ends up being a great person. And that's difficult to try to explain that in detail. But you are a spiritual man who, can I use the term reeks? Reeks of goodness, reeks of greatness, reeks of integrity, and a man who truly loves God. And people want to be around someone like you. And that's probably what we're trying to share with our listeners at this point. To be a finisher and living the good life and having lots of friends and people who admire you is a contagious thing. If you want to reach out to people, they will reach out to you. David, I thank you. That was a great testimony.
You want to finish well in life?
Yes.
Get you a group of friends that you can fit in with.
Yep.
I play golf every Thursday, hopefully, with friends from the church. They have become valuable people to me. When I get out of the car and get out my clubs and start walking toward the first hole, I get such a warm feeling because I know I'm going to see them and their smile is going to be there and they're going to encourage me. They're the kind of guys that when you hit the ball and it goes in the water right down over here on the right, you know, and they say to you, "Oh, Dave, hit another one."
Hit another one.
That's a real friend, isn't it?
That's a real friend.
Oh, my God.
That's a real friend.
You got to take that guy with you every time so that when you goof, he's telling you, "Oh, Dave, go ahead, get another ball."
Yes, that's a true friend. I understand what you're saying. I go bowling every Monday morning. And you know something? I look forward to running into my friends there. Sometimes I only see them this once in one day a week. And it's always a greeting with a, you know, a warm smile or friendly handshake and, you know, good Christian fun and you do your best to have to be competitive and to win a game, but you have no hard feelings or no bitterness if you happen to lose and the other person beats you. That's just sportsmanship. So that's being a good finisher as well. David, I hope that our listeners are able to see through our examples and understand that if we follow the Lord, that you will have life in abundance. Jesus was knowledgeable about scriptures. I want to move on, Dave, to how important the scriptures are to us. When God talks, the wise people listen. The greatest book on earth is the Bible. That's no secret. It has outsold every other book. It is the Word of God. You know, it takes approximately 56 hours to read the Bible through completely. If you read 40 chapters a day, you will complete the Bible within 30 days. And if you read 9 chapters a day in the New Testament, you will finish reading the New Testament in 30 days. You should read the Bible systematically, regularly, and expectantly.
Let me just jump in here with
you. Sure, go ahead.
I had a desire early in life to read the Bible and to memorize it. I think it ran in my family because I just talked to my brother the other day, and he said, "Dave," he said, I'm in my 70s. He said, "I'm 10 years younger than you are." He said, "But I have a real longing to memorize the Bible." I said, "Phil, don't do it now. It's too late. In another 10 years, you can't remember anything. What are you doing? You're working hard." He said, No. He said, "I'm loving it." He said, I'm memorizing chapters." And I said, "I want you to come to my home, because I have a small group of 40 people that will enjoy you memorizing the Bible in front of them." He said, "Dave, I never thought of that, but I'm coming. I'd love to do that."
He's going to recite the Bible?
He says, "You open up your Bible, it's chapter so-and-so, and then I'm going to read it. I'm going to quote it for you."
Recite it for you without looking at it.
Well, for my brother, he's real quiet. He's not anything like me. He's so different.
Yeah.
And yet, I am excited about sitting down there saying, "Okay, Phil, show me what you can do about reading the Bible, and I hope that you can, when you get to be in the 80s, you can still remember it."
I was on one of our shows here on the WPFG I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but there was a gentleman on airwaves that said he memorized the Bible from Romans to Jude.
Wow.
Is that possible? I mean, that's a lot of scripture to memorize.
That's the Apostle Paul, and it's heavy, too.
Yeah. Oh, my.
And I decided in my lifetime I would read the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, I got through the New Testament, went to the studio,
yeah,
got the microphone, And it took me 17 hours to read the New Testament. Yeah. What did it say? What did you just say? You said
it takes 30 days to read the New Testament if you're going to read 40 chapters a day.
Who in the world is going to read 40 chapters of the Bible every day? Yeah. There isn't anybody, I don't think. Not unless you're a monk or something.
Yeah, 40 chapters a day is over my level too. I would get too restless too soon to read that much.
Well, when I got through the New Testament, and then I looked at the Old, and I said, I don't care. I'm not going to read that on the CD. That would take me so long, and the words are so big, and the names are so odd. But if you'd like to have somebody read the Bible for you, you can't read it anymore. You can't take the time. You don't want to pick it up. All you got to do is plug in a CD from Dave Colon.
Yeah.
And I'll read the whole New Testament for you.
Yes.
If you got 17 hours or if you got an hour a day, I'd take it for 17 days.
That's fascinating.
It'll be the most blessing that I could give and share with you.
How would people get a hold of that CD you're talking about?
They could just call the station here or write us here at the
14 Stover Drive.
14 Stover Drive in Carlisle.
Yes.
We'll be happy to see that you
get a copy of that New Testament read by Dave Colonna. That's a wonderful idea. Well, thank you for that offer, Dave. I would encourage our listeners to read Luke chapter 4, when it talks about reading scriptures, and that's what we're referring to. When Satan presented his temptation to Christ, Jesus merely quoted scripture back to him as the answers. The word of God is powerful. The word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalms chapter 119, verse 11. The book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. Here's a good way for you to read it, Dave. Why not sit down today and start a magnificent new habit, reading this wisdom book completely through each month? Simply read chapter 1 on the first day, chapter 2 on the second day, chapter 3 on the third day, and so forth. There's 31 chapters. Read it again and again and again. A fountain of knowledge and wisdom found in the book of Proverbs.
I've done that too. I've already read Psalms and Proverbs.
Yes, straight through.
So you can sit there to your heart's content and listen to the word of the Lord. It's beautiful. Precious.
I can say I've read all of Proverbs, all of Psalms, all of Job, and all of Ecclesiastics. But the rest of the Old Testament was kind of hit and miss. I can't say I read absolutely every word because I'm not sure I did. I know I read at least most of it, but I never read it chronologically the way I did the New Testament.
If you have to do it on tape, you'll get it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Sometimes you at home, you pick up the Bible and you read two or three verses, and you have enough of that and put it down.
Right.
But if I gave you assignment, just giving me two chapters, you'd read it carefully and say, wow, I have to talk to Dave about this, and if I don't read it right, then he's going to know I didn't, okay?
That's right.
So if you're going to come see me, read the Bible.
Read the Bible in its entirety. Yeah. It is a fascinating thing to do. It seems like that old adage, when you read the scripture again and again and again, over and over and over, the same, you can read the same scripture and you seem to absorb something different each time. There's a word or a phrase that catches your attention and your mind wanders in that direction. And you can build, I can build an entire sermon around one verse of scripture sometimes. You see, the word of God just helps to build our faith. So when a faith comes by hearing and a hearing of God's word, then we're growing. That says that in Romans chapter 10. You know, faith comes when you hear God talk. Faith comes when you speak the word of God. The word of God keeps you pure. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalms chapter 119 verse 9 reads that way. You see, Jesus knew the word, and he had some very powerful messages for us. Dave, our time is exhausted once again. My, it goes so quickly. But do you have any closing thoughts you'd like to share to our listeners the word of faith?
Just one more thing.
Sure.
I like what you said, and you put it out there really where people could understand about it. Just if I can, I just wanted to repeat it. Faith comes when you hear God talk. That's what you said.
That's right.
I like that. Yes. God speaks, and he'll talk to you right where you are today, right now. When we finish our program, you can turn to your Bible, and you'll see faith come at you, and you'll know that God is talking to you.
Thank you for reiterating that very powerful point, my friend. We have to say goodbye for now. We'll look forward to talking to our listeners again real soon. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye-bye.